Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is closer than you think. Oh, I've changed the tagline there a little bit because it's season 11. Woohoo! This is the beginning of our season 11 coverage. I'm Tony Black, obviously, your host. And today, talking the first of our coverage on the season 11 premiere, My Struggle 3, is Mr. Andrew Blaker. It's really nice to talk to you, Andrew. This is our first time recording, I think.
I think it is. Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm really good. I'm buzzing. I've had one of those X-Files days, you know, where it's just been in my head all day. I watched it this morning, and it's just been rolling around in my head all day. So I've been really, really looking forward to us getting into My Struggle 3. So we're going to start this off the way we did it 2 years ago with Season 10. Those of you listening to us way back when, listening to our Season 10 coverage, will know that we did multiple podcasts per episode, and we focused in on various different characters and discussed all the plot beats and everything going on with the episode through then. So we're going to start as we mean to go on and discuss Agent Fox Mulder. So obviously, at the end of season 10, at the end of My Struggle 2, we thought Mulder was in trouble, didn't we? And we thought he was, you know, near death. He'd need stem cell treatment from William. And I think all of us were going, how the hell is he going to get that, like, quick enough when there's a viral apocalypse happening? There's a UFO landed on top of his head. He's almost dead. They're on the middle of a bridge as well, which is serious traffic. Okay, how are they going to get off that bridge? And it turns out it was a Bobby Ewing in the shower moment.
Really. Pretty much.
So Mulder's fine. It's Scully who's the one who's in dire straits in hospital. And we'll talk more about Scully later, but I think we need to start this whole coverage of My Struggle 3 by talking about this kind of 180 that Chris Carter's done at the beginning. And I mean, where do you stand on this? Did you feel the moment we realised that Scully had essentially, well, not imagined My Struggle 2, because that's not fair, but had some, you know, the whole thing was a vision. How did you feel about that?
I felt that was probably the only option that they could realistically pull off. Like you said, when the cliffhanger aired, you were in uncharted territory. You know, you'd introduced a global contagion. You'd seen evidence of a global contagion. You can't just walk back from that. Looking back, and I know Chris Carter said something like this in an interview, there were a lot of signs that My Struggle 2 was in fact a vision or hallucination, whatever you want to call it, on Scully's part. And before it premiered, I felt that that would be what happened, and it was. And I liked it. I thought that it set up this season really well to kind of, you know, test how much of what we saw in her hallucination could in fact become real by, you know, episode 10 of season 11.
Yeah, it was really interesting in that the whole thing about this, and I think what I felt with Mulder's storyline, which is obviously what we're going to focus on, is that it almost felt like an alternate timeline what she'd seen. And whether or not it is an alternate timeline kind of thing, you know, and it's a bit fringe, actually, in that William gave Scully the power to see an alternate timeline, we'll get into it later, but it's that whole thing of what Mulder goes through is almost a parallel of what happened in My Struggle 2, in that he ends up getting in a car, he ends up driving, unfortunately he ends up monologuing.
Yeah.
In a verbose way we haven't really seen since Redux. he ends up in a house with an exact mirror image of the Smoking Man and Monica Reyes, and he goes through a very similar conversation, but with an opposite parallel viewpoint. And I thought that was really interesting, in that you're right, we could end up getting to a point where we see an alternate timeline version of My Struggle 2 as My Struggle 4, which we're going to presume the finale is going to be called My Struggle 4. I'd be very surprised if it wasn't. So that's fascinating. That's a fascinating idea, that we might have actually been witnessing a kind of alternate timeline in which, you know, presumably in My Struggle 4, if that's the way it goes, we won't end up with the show ending with a viral apocalypse, although with the X-Files, you never know.
No,
that may be how he chooses to do it. So yeah, you're right. That's a really interesting point, really. And I think the way Mulder's journey goes through this episode, I think was more satisfying than My Struggle 2, in which we didn't really see him very much, did we? We got a lot more Mulder for our money in this episode.
You got a lot more Mulder, and you got a very different Mulder, a Mulder that you hadn't seen for some time, in my opinion. And that was one thing I felt, jumping in real quick to the whole characterization thing, this felt more like Mulder. Season 10 Mulder didn't feel like classic Mulder. This did, and I was really happy to see that.
You feel that Duchovny got into his stride a bit more? I mean, I'd agree with that.
Definitely. I think so. And I mean, you know, what they've all said from the beginning about Season 10, you know, you'd been away from it for, what, 7-8 years, since I want to believe. So, you know, 6 episodes is not enough time to, you know, jump into a whole other character. And when you're shooting an episode a week, it's only to be expected. So I think, having done Season 10 first, jumping into this, hopefully we have a lot better characterization. I thought we did in this premiere.
We did also get the middle stage of Mulder's facial hair. We've had clean-shaven Mulder, we've had super-bearded, tormented Mulder in I Want to Believe, and now we've got stubble Mulder. But stubble Mulder without the blood, like he had in My Struggle 2, and the mashed-up face, we've just got stubbly, I haven't shaved, I've had a long night Mulder, and, you know, he's out on an angry Mulder. You know, we've had angry Mulder these last 2 episodes, you know, and it's interesting when it's usually mythology episodes that we get angry Mulder, and it's usually when Scully's in peril. And I think, even though this episode doesn't do the whole coupling element, which, you know, there are suggestions from the trailers that they're going to get a bit more intimate as the season goes on. But it really took me back to the days when Mulder would be, you know, like One Breath. Obviously, it's not as good as One Breath. Obviously, I'm not saying that. But the days when Mulder would be beside, you know, her bedside, anguished, worried, and then going out there and kicking ass when she's unable to do so. It took me back a bit to those days.
Yeah, no, it really did. He felt like a much more classic Mulder, and I was really, really happy to see that, because immediately I noticed that kind of settling into the episode. It just felt like, okay, you know, we're not, I mean, it was breakneck pace throughout the whole episode, but it's, to me, it was more tolerable than what we got in Season 10 with I guess, My Struggle starting out, where it was just completely frantic pacing. One thing I did, starting at the top of the episode, when Mulder, of course, discovers Scully and goes to the hospital with Skinner. I guess this is more of a question to you, listeners, as well. I was confused, because I noticed that right away Mulder has this sort of antagonism towards Skinner. I'm talking the very beginning of the episode when Scully's been found out and they're being shown by the doctor her brainwave activity. And I wondered if I maybe missed something, because, you know, if My Struggle 2 never happened, then the last Mulder-Skinner interaction would have been, I guess, Babylon. And things were fine in Babylon. So I was kind of confused about why he had this sudden issue with Skinner.
Well, if you've read any of the, and I'm sure you have, if you've read any of the fan theories, it's that Babylon didn't happen either. Because when you see Miller and Einstein, they're not quite as, you know, they don't seem to know. Well, so the theory goes, yeah, they don't seem to know Scully as well. And I mean, I think that's, I don't believe that for a second. I think that's wishful thinking, that Babylon doesn't exist. But I think to answer that question, I think it's just a deliberate attempt to, and we'll talk more about Skinner later, but I think it's a deliberate attempt to put Skinner into more of that antagonistic role than he was. And I think,
exactly, yeah.
One of the things, yeah, that I think they, I mean, the one of the accusations was that Skinner didn't get enough to do, but I think one of the things they realised that has always been a good facet of the X-Files is when Mulder and Skinner have that element of conflict. And obviously by the end of this, there's that, you know, Anasazi-esque moment where they, you know, they push each other and they're about to, you know, scuffle, based on the fact that obviously Skinner knows something whopping, which we'll we'll talk about later, that he can't tell them. But I think that's the genesis of that. I think they like having Mulder and Skinner butting heads a bit more. And I get the sense that, you know, Duchovny and Mitch Pileggi enjoy that as well, as opposed to the, you know, chummy, sort of a bit like an older brother kind of thing with Skinner and Mulder. So, yeah, that's my take on that, really. But it was good to see them having more to do, because that's something that they didn't always get either. You know, certainly in Season 10, we didn't get enough of them together, so it was great to see that. So what do we think then about Mulder's quest, essentially? Because obviously he finds out that Smoking Man's still alive from Scully's visions, and he goes off hunting who he presumes to be the Smoking Man, but actually turns out to be this mysterious so-called Mr. Y, although we don't get his name in the episode. We know it from promotional material from Fox, and the character of Erica Price, who's played by Barbara Hershey. Again, we don't know her name in the show yet. They're just a mysterious man and woman in a big house who turn out to be planning the fate of humanity. but what did you think of that? I mean, I'll be honest, I was surprised. I didn't expect that. I thought he was going to go and find the Smoking Man, and we were going to get some sort of, you know, different version of the conversation they have in My Struggle 2. So it was interesting that he faced that mirror image, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, it really was a mirror image. I mean, if they hadn't immediately shown the scenes where you saw CSM Monica talking to Skinner, you know, I don't know what you'd wonder, because it was very, the juxtaposition was so incredibly fast with, you know, this is where Cigarette Smoking Man, I don't know, lives, works, whatever, and all of a sudden you got two different people in there. But it was a good introduction, I thought, how Mulder kind of just goes in there, guns blazing, and, you know, they're just completely calm about it, you know, like they were expecting him somehow, even though they've never met.
Yeah, there was that feeling, wasn't there, that they kind of knew he was gonna turn up. I mean, my thinking at first was that they were the ones programming Scully with these visions somehow, and that they were doing that to try and, you know, in opposition to the Smoking Man, which they seemed to be. But my instinct was it was that, obviously it's William ultimately, for whatever reason, but my instinct that it was those two, because they're very interesting in the sense that, I mean, I don't know about you, but I got serious First Elder vibes off Mr. Y. Like he had that same kind of, you know, he should be, you know, an extra in The Godfather kind of thing. And Erica, I guess, sort of felt like a little bit of an older Marita Covarrubias. And it's a shame in a way that Laurie Holden doesn't seem to be available, because you could have put her in that role easily. You could have had Marita turn up. Although Chris Knowles, who one of our podcasting Podwatch guys, and obviously wrote the complete X-Files, has made the point that Marita was supposed to be the Monica role in this season, in last season and this season. Yeah, it was apparently supposed to be Monica. It's supposed to be Marita instead of Monica, which would have made a lot more sense, but we'll get to Monica later. But yeah, I thought they were interesting, and their plan touches onto some interesting alternate sort of, you know, if the Smoking Man's plan is all about, you know, destruction of the world, their plan seems to be tapping into things like, you know, SpaceX, Elon Musk, all that kind of, you know, sort of future idea of getting people off the planet. And I mean, what did you make of that? I mean, I think they're probably lying. There's probably more nefarious things going on. But what did you make of this idea that now the aliens aren't coming and the plan is to get off the Earth before it burns?
Well, my understanding of it, and I almost hesitate to speak because I feel like if I do, I'm going to get it wrong. But I appreciated that, actually, because it kind of felt, for someone who, as someone who did not want to see the original series myth arc retconned, for lack of a better word, I was glad that it was directly addressed, and it was basically, my understanding again was said, yes, the Syndicate was real, the whole alien colonization myth arc, you know, the whole original series, that was all real, but colonization's now off the table because basically we've destroyed ourselves, we've destroyed our natural resources, they have no purpose in coming here. You put kind of that ecological bent on it, definitely current day with climate change arguments and everything. But I liked that, I guess I couldn't help but take some comfort out of the fact that, you know, okay, they're not saying, like they seem to do in My Struggle last year, they're not saying that the myth arc was completely wrong, that everyone was led astray, they're simply saying that, okay, it's no longer going to happen because there's no point in it happening. So I liked that argument, again, if I understand it correctly, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
But, so I liked that, I liked that part of it.
I think part of it's, you know, if we're going to be honest, I think part of it is the fact that the show didn't come back in time to do the alien mythology 2012 invasion thing. You know, I think if we're being honest, that's part of it. And I think Chris Carter knew that he'd put a big date in there, and he had to find some way of, you know, resolving that. And you got the barest sort of, you know, explanation of that in season 10, and everyone sort of went, well, hang on a minute, you've skipped over this massive thing and you haven't really given any context. So I think one of the things he was keen to do was to sort of, you know, put the point out there, you know, they're not coming, the colonization was going to happen, it's not. And but I think what I liked, and what I think it's interesting that Mulder gets to find out, is that yeah, they're not coming for an understandable reason. And the fact that the mythology, and we will talk more about the mythology later, but as morphed into being much more of a commentary on climate change and what's going on in the world today. So I think whatever Erica and Mr. Y turn out to be up to and turn out to be doing and turn out to the role they turn out to play, I think it was interesting that Mulder got there and we saw those characters, really. But I think in the end, you know, we get a final Mulder and Scully scene in which, you know, they know they've got to find William now, that it's quite important that they find their son because he's the one who gave Scully these visions. And we get some nice moments between them. And, you know, I think it's Mulder who asks Scully, well, what do we do now? And she says, well, we just do our job. Cue the next 8 episodes that aren't mythology. I think it's going to be an interesting road for both of them while still being able to, you know, be traditional sort of X-Files stories.
Yeah, I mean, I felt it was a little abrupt, but you know what? I didn't expect anything different. I don't think there is a way to do it different when you have it set up as, you know, Myth Arc versus Monster of the Week episodes. You just roll with it is what you do, and it sounds like we've got some great ones coming up.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we both agreed that Mulder was on form here, that it was an older Mulder, but an older fashioned Mulder, and we got a little bit more of that spark from Duchovny. So I think, yeah, he was one of the highlights, really, of this episode.
And one of the things I liked how we had Mulder and Scully in, again, a little bit in the believer-skeptic role flipped. He thinks she's dying, and so the vision that she starts to share with him and whoever else, you know, he doesn't believe it, and you can tell that he doesn't believe it, and you can even tell that she's a little hurt he doesn't believe it after, you know, years of his wild theories and her, yeah, you know, going along. But, you know, the whole reason he does his quest, so to speak, is because of her. He doesn't necessarily, I think, starting out believe what she's telling him at first, and then he realizes there's something to it. And I liked how they set up her kind of as the believer, he is the skeptic for her vision.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, he says at one point, I think, doesn't he, that you know, I don't doubt you, but obviously, you know, this could be something else, but don't worry, I'll go and look into it, which is classic Mulder, which is that whole thing that he's always able to do. He's always able to take that leap and go, right, okay, well, right, not quite sure what's going on, but I'm going to go and find it anyway. And so that's what he does. So yeah, it was really good. So yeah, top marks for Mulder. We've got a lot more to talk about this, and this is just the beginning of our Maestro Level 3 coverage. We'll be doing a few more podcasts the next few days. So tomorrow we'll both be back to discuss Scully's role in Maestro Level 3, which is obviously far more powerful and might contentious, but we'll get to that. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. But until then, remember, as always, trust no one.